And the time is 4:01. You're tuned to KDNK. This is Raleigh Burley with the Sopra Sun hosting today's edition of Everything Under the Sun. I'm joined here in the studio by our youth correspondent, Yesenia Burgos Benavides. How are you, Yesenia?
Hello.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And we also have Tracy Zabel, who is with the local Ceasefire Now Roaring Fork Valley group. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
And today's topic is heavy. We will talk about what's happening right now in Palestine. And the prompt for going into that discussion, which we'll focus on first, is a book discussion that's coming up at the Picking County Library on Sunday, November 17th, celebrating this year's Aspen Words Literary Prize winner, which is a book called Enter Ghost, written by a woman named Isabella Hamad, who's 32 years old. I learned in an article that Jeannie Soldern wrote for the Sopra Sun. And so this was also chosen as the Picking County Community Read. There were a series of film screenings scheduled, but no book discussion. So they did give out free copies. And as we heard, when we reached out to Aspen Words, they said, and I quote, "We always welcome book clubs and individuals coming together to discuss literature, including winners of the Aspen Words Literary Prize." So, Tracy, why don't you tell us a little bit about the choice by Ceasefire Now RFE to put together this book discussion?
Absolutely. We were so excited when this book was selected as the community read, and then quite a few members of our group started to read the book or listen to it, and we all fell in love with it. Everyone who read it did, and we were looking forward to the community discussion to discuss this beautiful work of art and to discuss Palestine. And then to find out that there wasn't going to be a community discussion, we decided we would like to hold that ourselves. And so we agreed on a date and we hope people will join us.
I'm grateful for that too. I did happen upon a copy of Enter Ghost. And one really neat thing about this book is that it plays with Shakespeare's Hamlet, which is a juxtaposition that maybe people wouldn't expect. And when I first read about the book, again from Jeannie Soldern's article in the Sopra Sun, I was really curious to see how Isabella Hamad would pull that off, and I've been really impressed. Like you said, it's a work of art. It's beautifully written. It really sets the stage, so to say, and it even has interesting formatting that we were talking about earlier, where some portions of the book are written as if it were a play.
Absolutely. And the way that Isabella can weave storytelling into this book is just fascinating. And I related to it a lot as a woman in the main character is 38 years old and I'm in my early 40s. And so I related to her so much, even though we have very different backgrounds, and just the way she can describe relationships was fascinating to me, and it just was a joy to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fascinating setting, the history that's interwoven, and then the character study as well. Really fascinating people that populate the book and drive the narrative. Yeah, and I feel transported. I've like dreamt about the setting based on her descriptions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I listened to it on Hoopla, and the narrator does a wonderful job. And so I do, now that I'm looking at the paper copy, I think of the voices that were used in the audio narration, and it's really, really fun to do that. But yeah, and I think the way she's able to kind of tell the Palestinian story for a lot of Palestinians, it through this work of art is just incredible. The fact that the protagonist is someone who spent a lot of her life in Britain, but then comes back to Palestine to be in a play, or she ends up being in a play. And I'm not giving a lot away. That's pretty apparent from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It just really kind of shows you the struggle of what that can be like when you are when you leave your homeland and then try to re-identify yourself with it.
Yeah, and it seems kind of autobiographical too. I think it's interesting, as you noticed, the character is 38 years old, whereas the author's 32. So I was really impressed also by her ability to talk about things like aging, divorce, things that maybe she has experienced, but possibly to a lesser extent, and just such a mature, informed voice.
I also was shocked at her youth, the mm-hmm. author's youth, and I was amazed at the amount of topics that were covered in the book, and without feeling too overbearing, because sometimes a book you can think, oh, it's doing too much, mm-hmm. But somehow it's just woven in so beautifully. And mm-hmm. I have read it twice, and I found that to be very beneficial because I picked up new things cool. the second time through.
And so she, the author, was also born into a Palestinian immigrant family, like the character that she describes, and she grew up in London, so there's a parallel there. Yeah, and I wonder how maybe cathartic it was for this author to delve into this, and I'm imagining with the time that it takes to write a book that she wasn't aware of the context in which the book would be published. But as you said, it was really topical for Aspen Words to choose this for their 2024 Aspen Words Literary Prize. So we're excited for that book discussion. I know I'll be there. Again, it's going to be on Sunday, November 17th from noon to 2 p.m. And the name of the book is Enter Ghost, which is a play on the way plays are written. Yesenia, what do you have to say?
Would you recommend this book to all ages or a certain age group?
I think a 16-year-old could read it, mm-hmm. As long as your parents or your guardians approved, mm-hmm. And maybe just be sure that maybe you have an adult reading it with you, so you can discuss some of the more mature themes. But
mm-hmm. yeah,
what do you think, Raleigh?
Well, I haven't come across anything so explicit yet.
Yeah, it's not explicit,
but there are some heavier themes for sure that are like present throughout the book, and I haven't gotten to the ending yet, so I don't know everything yet. I would say yes, I would recommend it. I think it's really beautifully written book, and an interesting investigation of the human spirit and soul, and also acting, like talking about theater and what it means to be an actor or an actress today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fascinating. And I was in plays in high school, and so that was fun to revisit that. And I was speaking to someone else in Ceasefire Now earlier today, and what's interesting is that the play, the Hamlet play in the book, is done in Arabic, and mm-hmm. that is the character's like native tongue, but she obviously spent a lot of time in London, and so her primary language that she's comfortable with is English. And so it's interesting to think about her struggle to make sure she's speaking her native tongue, like mm-hmm. how she wants to while acting. And so mm-hmm. that was like an interesting theme of the storyline.
Insecurity around pronunciations, right. Especially for, like, you know, we have an idea of Shakespearean English. And so what I get from the book is also this is like a very old Arabic that they've translated Shakespeare into. And so then for this actress who's lived primarily in London to depict convincingly a character speaking old Arabic. So acting in a language that isn't completely 100% familiar, I think any actor or actress could imagine is a little bit nerve-wracking. Yeah, and so this book, we know, was being given out at Pickin County. I'm not sure if they still have any free copies available, but you could probably find the book at bookstores, including local ones, with it being chosen for this prize. as well as you might be able to borrow a copy from our libraries. And then you mentioned some service to listen. Was that through the library?
Yes. So you can use Hoopla or Libby, and that offers Audible or eBooks. And I know they're available right now on Hoopla. So highly recommend.
Cool. All right. So Interghost, once again, book discussion at the Pitkin County Library, November 17th from noon to 2 p.m. And you are tuned to Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, joined by Tracy Zabel, as well as our youth correspondent, Yesenia Burgos Benavides. And Tracy, so let's maybe shift and talk a little bit more about Ceasefire Now, RFV. I'd like to know how this group got started and also how you came to personally be involved with it.
Yeah, we started meeting last December of 2023, after some members of the group showed Gaza Fights for Freedom at the Carbondale Library.
Mm-hmm. So and that was the first.
That was for, and that for me was the first time I saw that they were showing the movie on Carbondale's Facebook page. And I was really thrilled because I had been following the Palestinian journalists on the ground in Gaza, like early on in October until then. That was in November, I think I saw the post, and I felt so alone in what I was witnessing and didn't know who I could really talk to about it. And so then to find that other people in this community were concerned and wanted to advocate for a ceasefire was really helpful. And so we started meeting then in December and then have been organizing events since then.
Okay. Yeah. So for about a year now.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about some of the events that you've organized.
Yeah. So we've had protests and rallies where we hold signs. We've encouraged people to call their representatives. I mean, we didn't imagine that we would be here today not having a ceasefire this long in. So that's a bit disheartening, but we've had educational speakers and we've shown movies. We've shown Gaza Fights for Freedom again a couple times and the film Israelism. And I think also we've just been a support for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I'm aware of. More than one grief circle that has been held. So it's a heavy topic. As we know, there was a horrific attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023, within the context of a greater conflict that's been ongoing for many decades now. But since then, and these were statistics updated today by Al Jazeera, which is a media outlet that is funded in part by the government of Qatar, but 44,248 Palestinians have been killed. Also now 3,100 people in Lebanon have been killed since that attack, October 7th, 2023. And of those killed in Lebanon, more than half were women and children. This is something that experts, governments, and United Nations agencies are calling a genocide against the Palestinian people. Meanwhile, the U.S. has spent almost $18 billion, billion with a B, on military aid to Israel since that October 7th attack, in addition to almost $5 billion in just direct U.S. military operations in the region. So it's a lot. It's heavy. And those grief circles probably help people in a big way that's beyond trying to change policy and just kind of speaking to the hurt that people are feeling over what they're witnessing and reading about.
Yeah, it's definitely a feeling that we're not doing enough and we can't, like, we haven't really had any major influence. And so that is hard. But to be able to lean on each other is incredibly helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it is mind-blowing to think of those statistics that you just said and to think that almost $18 billion is really targeting a 26-mile strip of land and 2 million people that are really trapped inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how that's happening right now.
Yeah, and the way we've seen the conflict now spread into other countries.
Right.
Like Yemen and also in Lebanon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the journalists in Lebanon are wearing their blood types on their press vests because of the significant targeting of journalists that we've seen up until now. Mm-hmm. And so they're putting their lives at risk to report what they're experiencing.
Yeah, and I want to honor your presence in this conversation, Yesenia, as a youth. You're growing up. How do you feel with what's unfolding in our country's involvement in that?
How do I feel? Mm-hmm. It's especially with what you just said now, it's very scary and that, like, very unbelievable, but also, like, I remember my junior year, my teacher would always, like, make sure that we kept on track of, like, what was happening. And I thought that was really important because if not, it was sometimes kind of hard for, like, for teenagers to find out because mm-hmm. not all of us are on the news or, like, most of us are on social media. So it was very important for the youth to know what's happening and, well, have a voice heard because that's how we can end up changing the future.
Yeah. Yeah, important that we pay attention. And I remember Instagram began actually filtering content that it considered triggering or just too explicit. But also, I think people could draw a parallel between that and censorship. So you had to go into your settings to specify that news of that nature, which could be considered political, was of interest. Otherwise, you'd no longer receive those in your feed. And so we also are aware of just how inundated the news is with so many things. We just had a giant election and how easy it is for this to fall aside. And at the same time, there are many deaths every day. Mm-hmm. And this is a conflict the United States is directly involved with. So that brings me to my next question. As you engage with that, which many people choose not to for their own mental health, it brings up despair. So how do you personally work with that? And can you speak more to how the group works with that?
Yeah, it's definitely been a heartbreaking year. And I am so thankful to have the community I have through CSPIRE now. And I'm also thankful for therapy and the years of therapy I had leading up to this time. And also, I think I just have to accept that some days I'm going to be really, really low. And it's hard to navigate seeing horrific things the night at night on Instagram and then wake up in the morning and go to work and just go out about life as normal because we have to. I have to pay my bills and exist. And I want to stay strong and to fight for the world I want to live in, which is where these things aren't happening across the world. And so having this community and having things like grief circles and having people, honestly, that I can just call up and say, I'm really upset. Can we meet for coffee? Mm-hmm. And to talk things through is really, really helpful. And also I've been fortunate to connect with Palestinians and have had conversations and made friends with people who are even living in Gaza right now. And that has been a beautiful gift to me. And I've been able to, you know, support in ways that I can. And that's helpful because they are struggling to afford things like food and medicine, and but they can use money. And so I do help in that way when I can.
Yeah, more statistics. 87% of housing units in Gaza have been damaged. And this was updated October 27th, 2024. 80% of commercial facilities, 68% of cropland area damaged, 87% of school buildings, 68% of road networks, and 17 of 36 hospitals. Only 17 of 36 hospitals are partially functioning right now. So the land has been devastated. The cities have been devastated. And I do just want to ask this question, too, to clarify. I mean, is Ceasefire Now RFV a pro-Hamas group?
No, not at all.
And neither is it an anti-Semitic group?
No. No, we believe very much in Jewish safety and the safety for all. And mm-hmm. we have Jewish members in our group, and we want to be careful to not mm-hmm. delve into anything that would be thought of or interpreted as anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. And we are against violence.
Right. And there was a resolution that the city of Glenwood Springs passed.
Right.
That the town of Carbondale refused to look at. What was in that resolution? Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, that was a ceasefire resolution that would also ask for the release of all hostages, including the Israeli hostages that were captured on October 7th and are remaining in Gaza, and would increase the flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza, and that would stop the U.S.'s support of Israel's military campaign while they're conducting this violence. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we presented that to Aspen as well, who also declined to, the city of Aspen declined to take that on. But
right.
we're really thankful to the city of Glenwood for passing that ceasefire resolution. And it's disappointing that our elected officials won't accept that this is something we care about as part of the community, and as well as our statewide representatives. I've reached out to my senators countless times and just do not get an adequate response.
Well, and the response from Carbondale was that this is out of their jurisdiction. They're focused on local issues and, you know, have a lot to manage as it is. What's the response of Ceasefire to that argument that this is just far beyond local government?
I mean, this is a humanitarian, human issue, and overall, the United States is not complying with its own laws. There's a law that they can't provide. It's a Leahy law, and they shouldn't provide military assistance to a foreign entity that's violating human rights. That are committing human rights violations, and that is clearly happening with the targeting of hospitals and civilians and the infrastructure in Gaza. And so it's frustrating that none of our elected officials will hear us and say, like, stand for what is right. This is a humanitarian issue that we, the constituents of this community, care about.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems very non-controversial to say ceasefire,
right,
and release
peace.
All of the hostages, and that includes the Israeli hostages as well as all of the Palestinians who have been kidnapped and detained in prison even before last October.
Considering it is our tax money as well.
Exactly.
That's funding this.
And our investments, there's so much that's like tied up in businesses like Lockheed Martin and that are complicit in this. So
that, unfortunately, it's good business for some people.
Right.
Right.
And we could be using that money, the tax dollars. I think 20% of the budget goes towards the industrial military complex when we have infrastructure problems here. We have climate change to address. And why don't we focus on fixing things in our own country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have only a few more minutes. Yesenia, I'd like to give you an opportunity, if you have anything more to say as our youth representative on today's show on this topic. And then we'll give you the final word, Tracy, and close out our show.
Yes. I'm a little confused with what you were saying, that something that Aspen declined and then that Glenwood accepted it. What is that exactly?
We went to the city councils of mm-hmm. Aspen, Glenwood Springs, and Carbondale, and also Basalt, and asked them to pass a ceasefire resolution, mm-hmm. which would just say, we, the city of whatever city we went to, mm-hmm. we elect to pass a resolution which calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and the West Bank,
which means
the return of hostages.
To end the violence.
Yeah.
No more bombing.
So it's really just the town saying, we support the violence to end and for the hostages to be released.
Yeah. And so that was something Glenwood Springs very quickly approved, and other towns were hesitant to get into the debates that would have ensued, as we saw in Carbondale. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any final closing thoughts from you, Tracy? Or also, I'd love to ask how people can get involved with this group if they are inclined.
Yeah. Well, our group is called Ceasefire Now, Roaring Fork Valley. We are on Instagram under that handle. We're also on Substack. And if you sign up for our Substack, then you'll receive our newsletter. Our next event will be on November 17th at the Pitkin County Library at noon, from noon to two, discussing Enter Ghost. And we're hoping to continue to do more educational activities in the future. And we want to serve the community. And we're really thankful to be part of it. Speaking for myself, I've lived here a few years now, and I've just fallen in love with it. And it's a very special place to live. And I really thank the community for that. And so... And I'm so fortunate to be part of this group.
Yeah, and I would probably throw out there, I assume this might contain spoilers. So if anyone has not read the book yet, maybe they could join the next event if they're concerned about the book being spoiled. But I'm sure they'd be welcome if they hadn't read the book and they don't mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would love to have a conversation with everyone. And we'll have snacks on the 17th.
So even
that's,
better.
That's another reason to join.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy, for joining us on today's show. Thank you also, Yesenia, for joining us as our co-host today.
Of course.
This is Raleigh Burley signing off. Stay tuned for the regional roundup coming up next here on KDNK.